CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes, we are live and it's Monday. I don't know if anyone even saw the president's address last night. People were too busy doing other things. They were watching Richard Branson go into space. They were watching England lose to Italy. They were watching Wimbledon. Maybe you were even just watching Boersoeke Vrou. Who knows, you know? Any of those could be the answer. So, the president was like way down the line, if you know what I'm saying. He wasn't the priority for anybody yesterday. Well, we're up and ready to take you through your morning. Leanne Moll, Bulelo Tinta, and me. What's my name again? It's old age. That's it. Tareth Glyph. That's correct. How did you know? Don't worry. Once I've had my coffee, I'll be fine. Then everything improves. Yeah. I did an interesting thing on Saturday morning. I was part of a lecture that was hosted by DJ Spoo, and he puts together these like courses for people in broadcasting, and there are all these talented young people waking up on a Saturday morning to join in a webinar. It was really cool, actually. I'm always amazed.
Did you learn anything?
Did I learn anything?
Yeah.
Hardly. You know what I'm like. No, I mean, I did actually. I mean, that's always the interesting thing. You know, you get really insightful questions from people. I mean, some people are so wide awake. They're so turned on to everything. They're so hungry to get ahead and to learn. And that's why I always think, like, you could give someone the first rate education that you know, the best in the world get. You could send them to an Ivy League college. And that obviously, you know, that's a huge leg up. And usually it's more of a leg up for people in terms of their social network than it is the actual work that they do. But what's so amazing is that if you're a curious, intelligent person, even if you have none of that stuff, like, you still just, you power through, man. You find the local library. You read everything that you ever get in front of you, from menus to matchboxes to works by Victor Hugo. You know, it's amazing how some people are just, they have this natural brightness. Like, they're just quick. They just get it. And there's no amount of education that can improve someone who doesn't have that stuff. Even if it helps them maybe socially and all the rest, but that's the thing. And I just love seeing people like that. I love hearing them. These are the hungry people who are going to do everything it takes. They're going to wake up. They're going to be there. They're going to listen. They're going to take notes. You know, such sharp little minds. I say little, but these are people in their like late teens, early 20s. So they're hardly little.
Like a sponge.
A sponge, exactly. Mm. So what did you do this weekend? Because there was quite a lot to watch. There was quite a lot going on news-wise. I must be honest with you, I didn't really pay attention to all the pro-Jacob Zuma demonstrations that were going on, especially in Durban. But let me show you this video in case you were like me and you didn't pay any attention, because this shocked me when I saw it. This is the Durban CBD. Look at this quickly. You could see the Metro cops having a great day. And there's just these throngs of people throwing like bricks and half bricks and rocks and stones and God knows what else at police vehicles. These police vehicles eventually go, nah, bugger this, we're getting out of here. And they just turn and they gap it at like full speed. And this crowd is like ready to chase them down. It's hectic stuff. I mean, as far as I can tell, that's real, and that happened over the weekend. What do you think?
That's insane.
I saw it happening all over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the worst one I've seen.
Yeah, it's bad.
But it was scary, and I kind of watched the community group every time they made that were closed off or where the violence was.
Yeah.
It was kind of encroaching a little bit. It was into our CBD and then I didn't expect this, I must be honest. I mean, did you? Such a big revolt?
Well, I don't think it is that big. I think it's, you know, these are a couple of well-planned
hotspots.
Riots. No. This is organized. This doesn't just happen. You know, people don't just get together because they're furious about Jacob Zuma. This is definitely politically motivated. And we know the people who are most interested in his situation at the moment are the people who have the most to lose from him being in prison, because they know that they're probably next. The other thing is that I think there are loads of people who have to gain from this. And, you know, Ace Magashule has been putting out videos, even though he was arrested, Carl Niehaus was arrested. It's just the whole thing is turning really sour for that whole faction. And they're all saying, oh, no, it's because Cyril and his faction are trying to hide the fact that they're corrupt, which is, you know, it's like when you're a five-year-old and your little brother or sister says, he hit me. Then you go, he hit me first. That kind of thing. That's what it is.
Mm.
But either way,
and for those of us who...
Hmm?
Sorry, for those of us who grew up, obviously, in the 90s and noughties, you know, we've seen this before in that particular region. So
yeah.
For those who are that way inclined, this has happened before, and the lines are being drawn the same. It's just not the causes this time that are upsetting them. It's Evander. Cyril.
It's the Cyril. But this was already prophesied by Sipho Shezi, who we had on the Burning Platform last week. You want to hear where it comes from? You listen to that interview, and don't pretend that you can continue to be ignorant about what's going on after you've heard Sipho. He was very good. He was on the show with us for about 20 minutes last Thursday, and he encapsulated the whole problem of the power vacuum that this has created in KwaZulu-Natal. Anyway, the president was on last night, and I don't want to get bogged down in too much of the news because, frankly, as I've said a million times on the show, we pay attention to current affairs kind of because we have to, but... If you are fortunate enough to have not had direct interaction with these crazy people who were, you know, storming the streets of Durban and even Johannesburg over the weekend, these things really don't affect the majority of South Africans. And that's because these politicians don't really have much of an effect on the majority of South Africans, other than to make our lives in increments harder, right, over the long term. But there was the announcement by the president that he's continuing the lockdown. He is opening gyms up, which I thought was interesting. That's the only info. I didn't watch him. I got you always get a pricey, a summary version from your friends on your phone. And so it looks like he's carrying on the lockdown until the 25th of July. And then we're going to have gyms open up again. But otherwise, everything else carries on exactly like it has for the past 2 weeks. So
what about the restaurant? I thought they said that...
Yeah, I didn't watch it as mentioned, but I did see a highlight that we were able to go into restaurants again.
Yeah.
I should hope so. Bloody well hope so. Look, maybe someone who's listening has got more insight into exactly what the reasons might be, but you know what I don't like about this is give me a threshold. Say to me, okay, well, if we have less than 10,000 deaths in a week, then we can open up again. Don't you think we need to know that? Like, what are the victory conditions here? Because then people might be motivated to actually put in the work. Like, people might want to say, okay, fine. You know, if this is what we need to do to get out of this situation, then I won't leave my house for 2 weeks. Or if I'm not allowed to go X, Y, and Z place, and I'm not allowed to do this and that and the other, then tell me when I can again, and I'll follow your rule. Like, we're being given the rule, but we're not being told what conditions we will stop having the rule under. It's so arbitrary.
And I think again, you know, we're not exposed to all the statistics.
Yeah.
One interesting graph that I did see over the weekend from a doctor who's on the front line is the difference between the three waves that we've had. The first and second on the graph being kind of in the bottom third, and this one reaches the top of the graph. However, we've gone over the peak. We're on the way down, which is just amazing. And I think a lot of these stipulations and, you know, recommendations will change now that we're on the on the downside. We've passed. I certainly hope so.
You know, what was so striking to me about all those riots that I was getting videos of from everybody, because this is what people do now, is like everyone has become eyewitness news. So they send you stuff that's been, you know what I mean? Like they mean well.
And it's so annoying.
They're trying to keep you in the loop because they think, oh, this is important information. I must tell my friends, which is, I know it comes from a good place. I know it's not just, you know, sharing drama, but how come these people who were rioting in the streets of Durban and the streets of Johannesburg and throwing things at the police and setting things on fire, trucks on the N3, how come those people are not being arrested in their swathes? And people who break lockdown regulations are, you know? You remember when they were arresting like surfers and bullshit like that? Or going into a restaurant and saying to a restaurant owner, you know, you've been serving alcohol. This is very dangerous. And they remember when they locked people away for that stuff. Now, we have real riots here. Why should we listen to the police if they're not going to arrest those people? Why should any of us take them seriously?
Forget about riots. That's kind of scary. What about the swathes that lined Jacob Zuma's drive to get to hand himself in? Well,
yeah.
What happened to those?
There was no social distancing.
Number one,
yeah.
Outside lockdown, right. No masks. I mean, they were basically swapping saliva mouth to mouth. What happened there?
Well, again, no rules for me, lots of rules for thee. This is the weird country we live in now. But as I said, I do want us to start the week on a positive. And if you are an Italy fan, as our friend Stefano, who we had on Friday is, I mean, he must be celebrating. I don't think he's even gone to sleep this morning. Bulelo, he did send me a message to say, if you want to talk to me this morning, you can. So if you want to get him on at the end of the show, and maybe he's awake, maybe he's sober, maybe he's come down from his celebration. But that was
exciting.
There
are a lot of maybes there.
I watched a little bit of the Wimbledon men's final, which is, you know, it's sort of a bit of a family tradition, I'd say. If you go to my folks' house, they will not miss Wimbledon. And they actually were there. They went to, not the final, but they went to a match at Wimbledon 2 years ago, the last time there was Wimbledon. And they just love it. So it's always on there. If you know, if someone's playing a tennis match at Wimbledon, it's on my parents' TV. And they kind of, it's a religious tradition for them. So I went over to visit them and saw that this was on. And it was actually a really fun match. I mean, so there's this Italian dude who's taking on Djokovic. And it was pretty evenly matched for a long time. I didn't watch the whole thing, so I wasn't watching from the very start. But it was a good match. There was some real fun there. So, you know, even for a non-sports fan, I love seeing people doing their best. I love seeing people just putting out absolute maximum. And then, as I said, Richard Branson all over social media. And, you know, a lot of very angry, nasty people, too, who are cross because he's wealthy and because he's doing things that they can't do and he's pushing humanity forward. And they're just so bitter and resentful. You know, if we could remove just 5% of the bitterness and resentment that some people have in them.
And jealousy.
Jealousy. Here's this, you know, he's an old man now. What's Branson, in his 70s?
Must be.
Yeah. He started innumerable businesses. He's a proper serial entrepreneur. I had the great fortune of meeting him about 7 years ago. We did a little flight over Johannesburg, and I got to spend a good 15 minutes with him. I think the interview's still on cliffcentral.com. I'd met him before once or twice as well. And he's a really charming, lovely man. He's not some kind of secret, horrible asshole who, you know, puts on this public face of being nice to people and talking to everybody and following his dreams and doing this motivational stuff that he does. And then when the cameras are off, he becomes this morose, evil capitalist who's like dead against humanity and wants us all to fail. These people, the comments that I saw after he flew into outer space, which is just so beautiful. I mean, to even see him, his facial expression, and then you can hear him talking on the edge of space. I'll see if I can find the clip for you just now. I know Leanne's just sent
sent you a pretty cool clip that was on
TikTok.
I've just sent it now.
You know, here's this guy, and you hear how excited he is, and he talks about how when he was a kid, he watched the first American, Neil Armstrong, step onto the moon. And he thought, you know, one day I want to go to space. One day I want to make it possible for other people to go to space. Remember, this is a privately funded spacecraft. This thing went onto the edge of the stratosphere. And mm-hmm. all that way up. And they were weightless for a little while. And then they came back down. And to be able to create the conditions for himself and whoever else was on there with him to do this is just extraordinary. Why wouldn't you be happy for him? It's not your money. It's not like he took money from you to do this at gunpoint like governments do.
He's working to advance your future. I know that sounds like a very big cliche.
Right.
But that's exactly what he said, particularly in this clip that I've just sent you now.
Yeah.
He's changing your world. You know, whether you get to afford to be able to go up or not.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, it didn't mean that we were all going to the moon.
No.
But it changed our worlds.
And also, as most science, like 99% of science, right, is filled with unintended consequences becoming the greatest of solutions. I mean, if you find penicillin, which is probably the greatest thing that happened in the last 100 years
yep.
of medicine, that was an unintended. So all of the scientists that work there, it's not even about going to the moon. I always get angry when people don't understand. There is stuff they are trying which will change the face of science forevermore. Forget that they went to the moon. That's just an awesome end result. There's 99% of science around you all the time, which happened by mistake, and it always does, actually. It's never
absolutely.
It's never like the movies where the unbelievable-looking girl with the perfect-sized breasts looks, oh, my God. And then she runs to the other office, and they've discovered that they've cracked the God code or whatever.
Yes.
You know, it's not the Higgs boson. That's not how you do it. So that's an incredible stride forward for mankind. Absolutely incredible.
I just want to quickly play this. This is the actual clip. I'm going to see if I can put this on the screen. I'm just going to have to share screen here quickly. And then you can see Branson, if you're watching us this morning instead of just listening to us. Otherwise, you'll hear the audio pretty well, too. So let me just do this quickly. So if I share the screen here, I haven't tried this before. This is very exciting.
It's like going to space for you.
It's like going to space for me. So here it is. Hang on a second. Here we are. To all you kids down there, he says. All right, see
you. With lots of other wonderful adults looking down to our beautiful, beautiful Earth. To the next generation of dreamers, if we can do this, just imagine what you can do. Hey.
And he undoes the straps, and he goes weightless for a little while. So, you know what? There are going to be people who say...
all you kids down there.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Richard.
I was once a child with a dream.
There we go. So, you know what? How nice for him that he's been able to experience this during his life and get one of his dreams ticked off. I mean, we all have things that we'd like to do, you know, bucket list stuff. I think it's just great. Corona's boring, says Cliff Central. Branson is so disappointing. I always thought he'd be the first person to have sex in space and laughed at the Mile High Club.
You know what? He was so happy right there in that moment that I reckon he wanted to have sex.
I'm sure he did. Hell yes. It's That's just so unbelievable, funny. You know.
And he didn't even have to try to get it up.
Yeah. The only factor pushing numbers up at the moment, according to John Bad Dog, are the taxis. The rest of the infections are minimum. That may be the case because so many people don't have a choice and they have to be in taxis, right? Bridget says, it was a good match. That's Wimbledon. My dad hates the commentators, always swearing at them for being biased, sometimes more entertaining than the game. Oh, yeah. That's what dads all over the world do. They swear at commentators.
Yeah.
That's just their thing.
Shout at the TV. I actually watched the whole Euro final match.
Oh, yeah?
Game, rather. And
so you got to sleep at, like, midnight.
So, well, this was the thing. I mean, it went into extra time. And at that point, I thought, you know what? I actually can't. My eyes were closing. I was lying in bed watching on my phone.
Yeah.
And so I turned off my phone and I put on my Sleeping Jesus.
Yes.
And I tried to sleep. But I couldn't because now I didn't know what had happened and what the result was. And every time I checked, it had been extended or they were now going into injury from the overtime. So eventually I thought I need to just watch this. And so I did. And I was rooting for Italy. just my personal opinion. And but at the same time, I was rooting for England because the company I work for is English, and we would have had a bank holiday today had we won. So that's another reason why I couldn't sleep. I didn't know if I'd be working today or not.
Well,
but alas.
Well, look, you know, obviously England with their "it's coming home" thing built it up to be. Right, today is going to be the most depressing day of all time in England because they don't they don't take this kind of build up and then crash down very well. They melt completely into, you know, and I think it's hilarious because I've never felt that way about sports, so I don't know how I don't know what that's like. And I've always thought it was ridiculous that there were people I know, friends of mine, people I think are very, you know, impressive human beings. They would have a whole week ruined by a sports result. And I'd be like, you know, there's another sports result that we've got to pay attention to from the weekend. Dricus du Plessis. I mean, you know, so Ben was on Friday morning. He's been training with Dricus. And he's been following him around and kind of documenting his journey. This guy's been an MMA fighter now, and he's been working his backside off to get ahead and to be one of the best. And he was in Vegas, and he was actually in a fight in Vegas and won and did a superb job of it. So there's another thing to feel happy about. You know, again,
savage right hand.
South Africans, it seems the only place we really are winning in the world right now is in individual sports. You know, there's South Africans in tennis. I saw one of our wheelchair tennis athletes. She was in the final, the wheelchair Wimbledon final. You've got people who are in golf, and you've got people who are in swimming, and you've got people who are in MMA. And those are the only South Africans who seem to really do well, the individual athletes, because they don't depend on these dumb administrators the way that, you know, the teams have to. And, Bulelo, if there's any lesson in that, it is that the more interference you have with the athlete and their sport from outside people, the worse it's usually going to be for them. If that interference is not everything that is positive, if that interference is not unbelievable care and attention and deep and devotion to just excellence. Am I right?
I told you and Pumi last week, most administrators are not needed. Automate. Admin should be done by computers. We have apps and computers now. The best example in world sport is Formula One and cycling. If you want to see how things are actually run properly at their pinnacle, small teams, the smartest minds, but tiny teams, and they do the most incredible things in sports science and health science today by a country mile.
Well, you see, this is where we've got things to be proud of. So even though we have riots on the streets for Jacob Zuma, even though we have an extended lockdown, the things that you can look forward to is seeing a couple of really, really amazing South Africans just doing excellent things. And, I mean, you know, we can sometimes claim Richard Branson. He does come out here often. He's got that that game farm of his at Ulusaba. He spends a lot of time in South Africa. He loves this country. And I took a little bit of pride in his success in doing what he's done over the weekend. Dogozo is also bringing up Dricus and says, well done to him. Won a UFC fight. Conor McGregor, of course, broke his shin in what looked like it was going to be a good fight. So if you were watching that too, there was that going on. So amazing. I mean, like, what a weekend, you know? Considering all the things that are going on in the world, actually got a lot to be very optimistic about. I love it.
There was so much to be distracted by for a change, which was great.
I want to wake up on a Monday and feel like this. I don't want to feel, you know, more lockdowns, riots about Jacob Zuma. And if you watch the news, that's how you're going to feel mostly, I'm afraid. And there's nothing you can do about that. So there's other stuff that we've got to get to. Apparently, Leanne has found out, and this is really good news for those of us who are looking in the mirror every morning, getting more and more disappointed how old we're all becoming. Leanne has found out that there is a way that you can actually reverse gray hair. I mean, we've all seen the presidents of the United States, right? They start their term, and they've got no gray hairs, or at least a few, and then they end their term, except Trump, obviously, because God knows what that is on his head. But every other president of the United States, they start their term and then they end it and they're gray. So you can tell stress and hard work and being in a difficult job, that will make you gray quicker. So according to Leanne, and not just her, some research that she's found, our bodies can also reverse that process.
Exactly. And it's nothing that we do to ourselves. There's no, I mean, we know that diet can reverse that process, but it's not reversing the actual process. It's just covering it up. but our bodies are so clever that we can reverse it ourselves. And it is down to that. It's purely down to stress. Yes, things happen to our hair and the pigment in our hair as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of what causes gray hair is stress.
Right.
And so this is the first published study to find evidence of something called natural repigmentation. Mm-hmm. And it shows, when a hair starts off, it's either gray, white, or colored.
Mm-hmm.
At any point in its history. So they snipped these hairs and rated the stressfulness of their life over the past year.
Yeah.
As we know, there's a connection between going gray and high stress. We just look at our presidents and former presidents. And the scientists didn't actually suspect that the reverse can actually happen, that de-stressing events can bring the color back to these fibers.
Unbelievable.
But that's exactly what happened. Even just one participant who went on a two-week trip, five of their hairs regained color afterwards. No one knew that this reversal was possible. Hmm. So if you find yourself looking younger and more sort of colorful after a long break, it's probably your hair as well. You probably look a little less gray.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with gray. I like gray hair, I must admit. But all these things
you could
that
look like,
lead to...
You could look like a silver fox if you're one of those guys who's gone prematurely gray. You know, some of the girls really like it.
Yeah, like Clooney or something
Clooney.
Like that.
Yeah, no, and I like gray hair on a woman as well. It's just so interesting that our own bodies are clever enough to reverse it. Who knew? Clearly we're getting stressed and then old and just staying that way.
Well,
but there is a way to reverse it.
You know, again, like here's Bridget. She says it was her 40th this weekend. She had four friends that were brave enough to come to her house. They bought a karaoke machine in, and they partied hard until 8 p.m. A perfect 40-year-old party, 8 p.m. Woo! 8 p.m. Very nice, Bridget. Happy birthday. That's cool. Yeah. And then here's something I don't know anything about, but maybe you do, Mbolelo. Ashley Moorman won a stage at the Giro. I don't know what that is. What is the Giro? What is that?
Cycling.
It's cycling.
Okay.
Cycling, yeah.
Who cares? Don't tell me about stuff like that, Rion. No one cares. Stupid cycling.
Yeah. Well, I care.
Then you can, why didn't you mention it then if you care so much, huh? Why did you have to wait for Rion?
It's not the France thing.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, my dad, in my family, there would have been a huge fight over Wimbledon and the Giro. I find it interesting.
All right. So Errol says he'd rather go gray than go bald. I agree with that. So this is good news then, because you needn't go gray or bald if you're in control of your stress.
And well,
who knows if you can do that.
Former global superstar Wayne Rooney's done both, actually. He's gone from balding as a like teenager and in his 20s, hairpiece or like the plug vibes. And now he's got the thin hair with the plugs, but he's also gone gray in like a year of management after quitting football, you know. And the thing about footballers is we watch them every year, so it looks even worse. And Wayne Rooney's done both of those. He's chosen to be bald and gray at the same time. It's a
chosen. Yeah, I'm sure he had a whole lot of choice to. Yeah, that's definitely.
Well, Leanne just told us.
Yeah.
Leanne just told us our bodies can actually manage it themselves. So Rooney must get it together.
As I recall, Wayne Rooney was never that good at maintaining and managing his stress. So I think we can.
I don't think it was a priority for him.
No.
Well, he did sleep with a granny. I don't want to be disrespectful, lady of the night, while
granny
was watching the kids.
She was.
Oh yeah, no, Wayne Rooney.
I think you were more disrespectful by saying granny than you were lady of the night.
Yeah, don't worry.
Because she probably wasn't a grand.
Mm.
No. She was like, no, old. Like,
no,
old
I'm just a bit of like, grand by definition is someone who has grandchildren. She probably wasn't a grand.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It is, sorry, ageist, whoever I may have offended, he, she, they. Hashtag soz.
Listen, couple of headlines that you need to know about here. So Jacob Zuma's obviously in the news, but I don't know if you know this. His brother actually died on Sunday. So that's really, it's not going well in the Zuma family at the moment. The brother of former President Jacob Zuma, Michael Zuma, and a senior member of the family has passed away in Gandla. According to information from Kanya Zuma, who's another senior member of the family, Michael wasn't well, passed away on Sunday morning, and they didn't say exactly where he was. But this comes while the brother, Jacob, is in a prison in Escort for contempt of court, and it's attracted an outpouring of grief from ANC members who were close to Zuma. He apparently passed away, they said that they will get in touch with the family to find out more. But he was known as Mike. He was always on the side of the former head of state and played a very close role when Zuma traditionally wedded Manduli back in 2008. Although nothing has been officially said by the Correctional Services Department, Zuma can apply to leave his prison and go home to bury his brother and later come back. So that's something they allow.
For everyone?
I think, yeah. I think that's, you know, I don't think they made the rule just for him. Supposedly, it's something that everybody can do. You can get out to do a funeral. So there's a little bit of news. And then Gautrain and Rea Vaya have been temporarily suspended due to protests. Park Station is closed because they're worried about the trains. Buses, the Rea Vaya buses, have also been suspended. So if you're looking to use those today, you may have to make another plan. That's a little bit annoying. And look, it's for your own safety, I suppose, because we don't know what these lunatics who are on the street are likely to do. But whatever it is, it's not good. And then we mentioned this earlier, but Sir Richard Branson rocketed to the edge of space in a Virgin Galactic vehicle, which they especially had built and commissioned for this purpose. And the trip makes him the first of the new space tourism pioneers to try out their own vehicles, beating Amazon's Jeff Bezos and SpaceX's Elon Musk.
That's what it was all about, really.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, besides us getting jealous or people getting jealous about the situation and saying, oh, they were rich. It was also a bit of a personal space race going on there between,
oh, for
between
sure.
them.
Well, you know what? Let them use their personal ego space race stuff to push humanity forward. I don't think any of us are going to say no to
that. Healthy competition. And Jeff Bezos, by the way, is going up in July. Mm-hmm. Well, he mentioned he was going up in July, which is now. And then yesterday's news was sprung on the world about a week or two ago without much notice. So that was definitely a competition thing going on
there. For sure.
I love it because, you know, Bezos is now going to brand the moon with Amazon or something. Like there's another level. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Well, like people were saying, Elon Musk, they were expecting a tweet from him saying, oh, well, I've actually already been. I just didn't tell you or something like that. I went last week.
Well, a lot of people commenting on those, on the riots. Gareth saying, with all the public unrest, they should never let him leave. He's very high risk. That's Jacob Zuma, obviously. So maybe that's a good point. You can request to attend a funeral, but cops will escort you there in handcuffs, said Mfundo. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can you imagine that happening? Because there'll be cameras, there'll be people, there'll definitely be some activity. Let's just put it in the most generous terms possible. There'll be some activity around that. Listen, we've got Dr. Hanan coming up in a little bit, and we're going to speak to him as usual on a Monday. And this is part of what we look forward to every week. It's going to be okay. And our guest this morning with Dr. Hanan is Mark Sham. We've had on the show a couple of times before. Mark is well known to a lot of people on social media. He's been the man behind Suits and Sneakers, which I've spoken at once or twice. And Mark has an enormous following on social media. The reason we're talking to him is because he's very open and honest about the things that he's struggling with during lockdowns, during coronavirus, with all the news that we've been getting. And I'm sure this is something that many of us feel, and maybe Mark speaks for a lot of people. When he brings up the fact that, you know, things are not that great mental health wise, and he feels that it's time to share that information, and we'll go through some of the stuff that he has shared, and we'll let Dr. Hanan talk us through it, because maybe his advice isn't just for Mark, it's for everybody, and I think that'll be quite useful to do. a little bit later on. If you want to get hold of us, you can comment on YouTube. We're live. You can also drop us a message on cliffcentral.com. You can send us a WhatsApp to 0797482090. And if you're listening to the podcast, well, then, you know, this has probably happened at some point in the past. And you're maybe not one of those people who needs to interact. You get what you want out of just listening. Perfect. I'm like that.
Yeah, me too.
And here, while we're talking about liking and subscribing, which you have to do, here's a video I got.
How's it, my Chinas and China Reds? My boot came up to me and he tuned me. Hey, you need to tune into the Gary Cliff Show. I tuned him, is it, boot? And I have never not tuned him ever since. Don't forget to like and subscribe right over here. Or is it over here? Because if you're missing art in this, you're missing art and wrath. Cheers.
I do love that. So thanks.
That is
Yeah.
That is awesome.
It's so angry. I actually don't know if I've even subscribed, so I feel like I need to now.
You better do it now. I mean, that's like a warning to everybody. Yeah, I'm getting some really good ones. So if you wanna join in, you can send those to us too. Just Gareth@cliffcentral.com, and we'll put your lock and subscribe up on the list. Definitely want to hear from you.
Lovely.
Have we talked about the England tears yet? Well, yes, we did mention it just a moment ago. But you can guarantee that England, the whole of England's only going to wake up at like 10 o'clock this morning, supremely hungover.
Well,
if you watch,
they started queuing at pubs at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. I mean, I was watching some of the live bits of all the build-up where people were in the streets, and they were standing on top of storage facilities, and the one girl was almost falling off. Two guys were holding her back with a flag, like a harnessed flag, to try and keep her from falling off the roof of a building.
Oh, Jesus.
So yeah, they were, yeah.
Yeah, they stormed the stadium, some of the yobs.
I saw that.
Yeah, I know. What you're going to do, they want to be a part of history. What I don't understand is, don't be sad. It's like if your husband cheats on you for the third time, surely you know by now they haven't won it since 66. They haven't won it since 66. Exactly. Are we still at it?
Yeah.
You can't be sad. Yeah,
but you know, if you feel bad about the way that people were rioting for Jacob Zuma over the weekend, or really just looting stores and just taking advantage of the situation to grab stuff, because that's really what it was, then don't think it just happens here, because as Mbulelo says, you had all these English football fans, these chavs, storming the stadium.
Yobbos.
But they were also behaving really badly on public transport. I don't know if you saw any of those videos of like all these English football fans on trains and in parks doing all the loud, stupid, destructive, dumb stuff. And I was just thinking, you know, what if you're not a football fan and you were stuck on public transport in London yesterday? You would have just had the worst day, right?
You know, I know we're about to go into talking to Mark and Dr. Hanan about this, but it's why I do struggle to connect in life on a very serious note is with people who take offense, because some of the things we used to hear, because we when I was there, we'd go back on the train often after games, especially in the youth teams,
right,
in our kit, you know, and some of the things we used to hear, and frankly, for me, it was, I mean, the amount of racial abuse I've kind of. So I struggle to connect with people when they get sensitive about stuff. I'm like, oh, petal.
Yeah.
You know,
deal with it.
Sweet, sweet little thing, yeah. But so that's part of the course. I mean, if you're going to be part of the football community, working class people, hammered, and we just lost. And what? West Ham just lost to Chelsea. You're going to get it on the train.
Well, Mandia says here that those English fans that were booing during the Italian national anthem, that's exactly the kind of nonsense we're talking about.
That's horrible.
And that's why, even if you are an England fan, I don't think anyone supports like English football versus, the true style and class of the Italians. I mean, certainly not me. I know we're going to get lots of people.
Prince William and Kate and George were together in the stadium. You could see little George was so into the game.
Oh, yeah.
And when it ended, the disappointment on his face. It doesn't matter how much money you've got, how much class, how much breeding. he was just as disappointed as the little kids who were crying red paint down their eyes when they lost. And he stood should... there in shock. He couldn't believe it. And his dad was kind of pulling him by the shoulder to say, let's go now. And he was like just standing there.
Well, his dad should be used to disappointment. His father supports Aston Villa. They are, I mean, Birmingham, the second city, and the Brummies. You think the Shabs are something. If you go to Birmingham, the second city, the Brummies are.
Well, here's a good point. I mean, like, maybe Prince George is the face of, like, Britain England when they lose. But here's Vusi, who says, they were so drunk by the time the game was on. Some were naked on top of buses. It reminded me of the good old South African strikes. That's about right. All right.
Oh, Lord.
So we've got a chance to check that it's going to be okay, which is what we do with Dr. Hanan Bushkin on a Monday. And this morning we're going to be joined by our guest, Mark Sham, who's probably well known to our audience as well. He's been on here a couple of times. And Mark is really well known online. He's the guy behind Suits and Sneakers. And he's one of those people who's actually, you know, quite motivating and optimistic. And Mark's been sharing a little bit of the difficulty he's been having in the last while. And we decided, rather than us, the team just talking to Dr. Hanan every week, we'll get Mark on and see if there's stuff that we can share with him that's as useful for the rest of us. So first of all, welcome, Dr. Hanan. How are you?
Oh, great. How's it, guys? How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Good weekend?
You can feel the chill in the air. It was lucky in the sun, but I believe this week is going to be quite cold. Not looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, me neither. What I'm looking forward to is hearing what you have to say to Mark Sham. Now, hey, Mark, how are you doing, bro?
Hey, guys.
It's good to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's been quite a crazy few weeks.
So I noticed your social media posts, and I've been following you. You've been following me for a while. We check in on each other every now and then. I've noticed, I mean, you're the kind of person who's always really optimistic and really positive, but things took a bit of a turn for the worse, and you've shared that with people, which is an interesting thing. I think, Dr. Hanan, you can unpack for us just now, sharing that kind of thing. It requires some courage, but at the same time, there are a lot of people in the world who are doing it for the attention that it gets, and we spoke about this briefly the other day. But Mark, tell us what's been going on in your life and how you've been feeling for people who haven't been following you on social media, so we can get some idea of where all this comes from.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, I don't think it necessarily turned for the worst. I was trying to get across there was just, we do this thing where we seem to compare stresses, and just on my end, you know, it's been a brutal few weeks because the lockdown impacts my business significantly. There's a huge amount of pressure on not just me, but on lots of people. But if you try share that, sometimes you get shut down because I also seem to have my health. I have a roof over my head, and no one I know that's been close to me has died because of COVID. So apparently you're not allowed to be angry or frustrated if those parameters are in play. And I've just been trying to share that. I think that when, just because those things haven't happened, I don't think it's worth keeping quiet nonetheless. I think that stress bottled up and not expressed isn't a good thing for us.
Well, Dr. Hanan, do you want to start with what Mark's just said now? I mean, stress that's bottled up isn't good for us. That's probably true, right? No one's going to argue with that.
Yeah, for sure. So I watched your post up, Mark. It's admirable because most entrepreneurs want to keep up their image. They want to come across as, you know, this doesn't affect me. It affects everyone else. And it's such a shame because at the end of the day, whether you're at the top of a company or at the bottom, and whatever that means, actually, we all experience stress. We can't get away from it. Suffering and lack of control is part of life, and you've expressed that. And what that does, which is very, very unique to human nature, is that we like to congregate. We're tribal. And the fact that you, Mark, have gone through this, that makes me feel good. It gives me permission to express that as well. And I feel like we are not doing this by myself. It's kind of nice to see a superhero go through these things just like I do, which gives me permission to be human too. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you've also been sharing stuff.
Yeah, I was just listening to you intently there. I think that's exactly the thing. You know, we kind of come into this world. Let me take from a man's perspective for a second. You know, we've got all these adages that get added to us. So, like, big boys don't cry. And I just see how harmful it is. I often give my dad a really hard time because I think him and a lot of his generation are not better for the big boys don't cry mentality. And I don't think that this means one or either of the extremes. I'd love to hear your perspective. You know, I don't think we all have to, every time we see each other, we have to congregate and sing kumbaya and just let it all out. But I just think there is some value to kind of saying how you feel. And yeah, it's just been, I mean, the last few weeks, coupled with the last few months and the last 18 months, it's just not normal.
Well, I mean,
and having no outlets.
Didn't you also,
you know, not being able to go to a restaurant is nuts, or not going to gym for 2 weeks, it's nuts. Yeah.
But you also had, I mean, you had people break in and steal all your stuff. Didn't you also have an engagement that was called off? I mean, there's a lot going on in your life. It's not as if you've been quiet.
Yeah. Well, the engagement happened about 18 months ago, but what was really longer, 2 years ago, what then caught me is I put this post up saying that I'm having a bit of a tough 2 weeks and I just wanted to share it. Mm. And then, of course, they broke into my house, and which is why I'm talking to you on my laptop and not on a proper microphone. Right. So, yeah, sometimes I think when you put these things out there, maybe you get tested on them. But
yeah, I'm good. And what was the feedback that you got? I'm interested. What was the feedback that you got from the community? And I mean, you said you were criticized for doing this as well. What was the feedback, the dominant feedback that you received?
Yeah, I mean, most of it was just people saying, you know, if I'm honest, I've also been really going through a tough time, but I haven't spoken about it because I do still have a roof over my head and no one I know close to me has died because of COVID. But I'm still feeling this high level of anxiety and stress just because of the circumstances that we're under. So for the most part, people really resonated with that. I've learned in the world of social media that there are trolls. Once you pick a side, no matter what you do, someone is going to come at you. I'm used to it by now. I'm sure, Gareth, anytime you say anything, you get used to them. You can say the nicest thing, and someone's going to come tell you why you're wrong. So I don't think about that. The majority was just simply people saying, thank you so much. I think especially men. You know what's so weird is like how many men wrote to me in my inbox. They can't comment. Many women commented, but the men wrote to me privately and said, thanks so much, brother, for putting that out there. You know, I've actually been struggling. Gives me a bit of permission to do the same. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. Mark, that's unbelievable. You know, we as men, we're socialized into, you know, just dealing with things on our own. We don't express it. You know, women are pretty much socialized into expressing their feelings. You know, if you ask any woman to maybe name as many emotions as she possibly can, she'll name 100. A guy will just be sad, mad, angry, pissed off. That's like kind of the four dominant ingredients. And men are not socialized, and we're not taught to be able to express what we feel and what we're going through, because we cannot express sadness. We cannot express stress. We cannot express grief. We just got to kind of deal with it and move forward. And the fact that a male dominant figure comes on stage and goes, hey, I'm stressed because of X, Y, and Z. And the truth is, like, these days you don't really need to pick sides for somebody to criticize you. I'm sure you've had people come up to you and or people watching it going, what are you trying to promote? Almost being cynical about this. I wonder what you're trying to sell. Why are you doing this? What's the ulterior motives behind doing this good?
Yeah.
So the trick is really, and what you said in the message was the bottom line is express yourself. And I feel that's so valuable, because the way we deal with feelings, people think you deal with feelings internally. And feelings are like a puzzle. Think of having 1,000 puzzle pieces on your lap. To try to put it together once it's on your lap is impossible. The way you put together the puzzles, you chuck it out of you. You chuck it out on the floor, and suddenly green and green, yellow and yellow, corner and corner, and it begins to make sense again. You're not too sure how you'll put it together, but once you put it outside, suddenly it kind of comes together. And emotions work exactly the same way. The moment you keep it on the inside, it's impossible to put it together. But once you put it out there, and I'm sure you felt that as well, Mark, is once you put it out there, you kind of go, oh, red and red, green and green. Suddenly it begins to make sense again, which is very, very healing.
Can I just point something out that I think is really interesting? And it maybe this doesn't get the attention it deserves, because the world of expressing your feelings is much more female dominated. And that's obviously part of what we deal with as human beings. Men just have a different response. But it's interesting that so much of this is, you know, when men support each other, they do it privately. And when men correct each other, they do it privately. There's a code, a system of honor that we use, which is a little bit strange to women. And it kind of made me think of a podcast I listened to a little while ago with a guy called Eric Weinstein, who's a really, really smart man. He's been a lecturer at various universities. He's much more of a scientist than he is a philosopher, but he's able to do both. You know, he can really do a lot of things at once. He's very, very smart. And he was talking about how in the interaction between the sexes, and particularly with this, you know, public criticism that a lot of people are only too happy to join in on, he was saying that he thinks we have to take note of the fact that cisgender, straight white men, we have a different way of dealing with criticism and with praise. And Mark said that the guys who contacted him did so privately. They didn't go online and make a big spiel of it on the internet. That's interesting, right, Dr. Hanan? That is something which we don't really pay attention to.
For sure. You know, and it's such a terrible thing. You know, like there's a social structure that we fall into. There's almost like a mold that we are taught this is how men are meant to behave. And the moment we show praise publicly, certainly for other men sharing emotion, it's not considered manly. So what that does, it takes that element away from men. Men suddenly don't have the freedom to show admiration and praise to other men that share their emotions. So, of course, they would send Mark a message privately to say, well done, bro. But publicly, they would be shamed by other men.
No.
But
what I'm asking is this, is like if I do something wrong, my friends aren't going to call me out publicly. They're going to call me in personally. Let's say I behave badly or I say something really terrible. My real friends, the people who actually care about me, aren't going to go on social media and call me out to everybody who doesn't know me. They're going to do exactly this thing that happened with Mark. I don't see it as destructive. I actually see it as quite a positive thing. It's just not what women do.
Well, certainly not to, I mean, a sense of loyalty is important. I mean, that's what kind of keeps social structure going. Mm. We loyal to our group. Actually, that's what creates a lot of arguments as well. But that is a good thing, but not when it comes to not showing admiration, positive reinforcement for men sharing emotion. What's wrong with other men feeling sad or feeling stressed? I mean, even like me saying I'm feeling sad, suddenly I'm telling you all the men listening to this going, whoa, 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 whoa. That doesn't fit the kind of social norm or social structure that we are used to. But if I start feeling angry, suddenly the men congregate and go, yeah, what happened, bro? So that's in a positive way. It's very positive in terms of, yeah, don't air your dirty laundry. But in a negative way, it just kind of repeats the same old cycle of men should not share their feelings.
Yeah, keep in mind that this post happened on a public forum, not my personal profile. So a lot of the people who are reaching out to me, I don't know. I've never met them. And I'm kind of with you, Gareth. I don't think that in that instance it's bad. I think what was just interesting for me more was I don't think they wanted to be seen publicly also saying, I'm struggling. And I don't think you have to make this big song and dance about it. I think it's just worth sometimes saying that when you are struggling with something, it can be, I don't know, 60 seconds. It can be whatever, just kind of getting it out. I just don't think it's healthy to sit with that. And it's funny for me, I just learned that once I get those things out, I'm better for it.
Well, Vusi says men aren't really allowed to speak about their issues without some form of backlash. And he says, additional to that, he says, I think it's actually an act of shaming. Men don't shame each other publicly. That's interesting. I don't know if that's always true. But Mark, I mean, do you have any other questions for Dr. Hanan? I mean, especially since you've now had you put this post out, it went viral, you've got this reaction. Are there any other insights that you'd like either to share from your point of view or you think that he might be able to shed some light on for us?
I mean, I think the question I would want to ask is, do you think, Dr. Hanan, that things are moving in the, like, is it shifting for men though? Do you think it's moving more toward men sharing more of their emotions or less?
So from my experience in my practice, this pandemic has given men no choice but to talk about it. You know, one thing that men pride themselves on is being the financial kind of kingmakers of the family, which is obviously beginning to shift a little bit to the left. But having said that, men have had no choice because financially it's tough. And now suddenly we start talking about, men starting to talk about, I'm financially stuck. I'm financially not doing well. My business is not going well. I'm being retrenched, or I need to look for another job. So suddenly the element and the in, which is the financial insecurity and the sense of purpose and the ability to provide, has opened up the avenue for men to talk about, that makes me feel stressed. So before that, if there was no in for men, what are we stressed about? We can't be stressed about other things. So, but the fact that now we can be stressed about work and financial security and sense of purpose and the ability to provide has certainly given men the permission to be able to share. So it is beginning to shift for sure.
Thank you.
So, Bulelo, I see you sitting there cynical as all hell, as you usually are. Bulelo doesn't like whinging, and I think there is a balance. There is a balance to be achieved here, and Dr. Khanan, maybe you can guide us on what that balance should be. We've got like 3 or 4 minutes left. Because, Bulelo, I know what you were thinking during that conversation, and you were trying not to show it in your facial expressions, but you'd usually go, stop moaning, get on with it. Everybody has challenges. Life is tough. That is almost a universal male response to most other people's problems, right? Or even to your own.
So here's the thing. What Mark did, which was incredibly helpful and it served great utility, is he didn't moan without a strength of power to control. So at the end of his set, he said, but I'm a winner. Or sorry, Mark, I don't remember at the end of the day or at the end of the thing, he said, but I know I'm going to get through this. And I've got mouths to feed, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just, let me just complain for the sake of complaining, but let me tell you what's going on in my world right now, but hold on 1 second, I'm going to go and become a winner. I think that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, so I have a simple theory about these things, and I'd love to, as we kind of close off, I just think that emotion is energy in motion. It has to go somewhere. I don't think we're better for suppressing these things long term. And I'm with you. I don't want to be a whinger. If you go look at my last 20 posts on my Facebook page, you'll see that it rarely comes up because I think it's better to focus on the things you can control and moving forward. But I'm just trying to get forward the idea that every once in a while, it's okay to just take a moment to acknowledge where you're at, get it out in whatever capacity you think is necessary, 60 seconds, 2 minutes, I don't care, and then let's kick on. I'm better for it. I think more people, every time I see other people do the same, I seem to think they're better for it. And then I agree with you. Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah. No, that's sure.
Listen, you. So you know what the thing is? That the fact that when you express emotion, you're waiting for other people to go, just kind of like give you that feedback. Am I feeling the right thing? So the moment you put out your emotion, people going, good for you, Mark, it makes you feel, okay, I'm normal. I'm not just the only one. And it does so back and forth with other people who you are expressing this to. But you've got to use those feelings for good. If a lion comes into this room and I feel anxious and I do nothing with that emotion, then I'm going to die. And that's a metaphor for life. I've got to take that emotion and use it to be better, to improve, to advance.
Yeah, I think that is the perfect place to end that discussion. And Mark, thanks again for sharing, dude, because we wouldn't have had this conversation if you hadn't been doing that. I think it's tremendous. I think, there's space now for people to be able to talk about precisely what they are going through, because all of us are having a bit of a shit time. No one would have wanted coronavirus. And, you and I and everybody else, we try to find the silver lining. We try to say, it kind of might have made working from home quite fun, and it's a bit of an adventure, and who doesn't like a challenge? But there are people who are really seriously suffering. And I think when people like you admit this, who are always people who are always optimistic and positive and driven, it gives permission to others to do it too. So Dr. Khanan, I think you're spot on, and as usual, you're able to bring a huge amount of clarity to what looks very confusing and foggy when we start talking about it. So thank you both.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And by the way, while we're just wrapping this up, if you have a particular problem that you'd like us to discuss, or maybe there's some question that you have, let me know, because we can put this to Dr. Khanan, and then we'll see if he, has a quick workaround for us so that we don't have to sit there and stew and feel like we're not making any progress. I mean, he's available to us on Mondays. Let's make the best possible use of him. He might be able to give you a short circuit to some kind of improvement in your life, which otherwise you wouldn't have got. So Very good to have you both on. Mark Sham, Dr. Hanan Bushkin, thank you both very much. That is It's Going to Be Okay for this morning, and it really will. All right, you can follow them both on social media as well, and you can check out exactly what's going on with Dr. Hanan and with Mark Sham. You can find out more. He's the CEO of Suits and Sneakers, and he's all over social media, as you may have guessed. Did I paraphrase you accurately there about the whinging? You didn't say anything afterwards, so I wasn't even sure.
No. I think it's important. If anything, the lockdown has taught me, or is starting to teach me, that people are going through it. I mean, you know, I'm whatever personality type you want to call it. But I don't want to try and be like those women on, or what's Whoopi Goldberg and them.
Where the View.
I have to now say, yeah, like I can't identify with what Mark is going through. But yeah, like I can't at all, because it's not in my personality type to feel that way, or I haven't. And but he's a different person, and there are people going through it. And I'm, you know, I can't just say, oh, I'm not going through it, so it's impossible.
Right.
I can't identify with it, and it's interesting to hear it. Yeah. So it's got to be open to this.
Well, that's what we've got for now. There'll be more in a little while. Don't forget, today being Monday, there's also a new episode of Auto Central coming up a little bit later on. So stick around. It's 7 o'clock.
CliffCentral.com.